The last thing we discussed was carrying an object together. So I'd like to discuss continue just a little bit of what Paiskim talked about, some contemporary things when it comes to handing things, and I'd like to discuss Shulchan Achas, eating together at one table, Ka'ara Achas, one plate, Shiurei Maichola, it's not on your sheets. Those sheets do not have anything about Hachakas on them. I'm sorry. You can use it for notes. But it basically has what we spoke last week, 2 weeks ago, and it has for next week, or the beginning of what we'll start with Vestas this week. Shiurei Maichola, and then I would like to talk about Mita Achas, which includes Safsal and Misnadnate, and different other miscellaneous points. In terms of the Moshit, we already spoke last week that handing something to your wife doesn't mean just handing it in her hand. It means to hand anything, even if there's not shayach that you're going to touch each other. So this includes Lamashal to put something in her pocket, or her to put something in your pocket. Adam, you're not going to touch anything, but you're putting it in her pocket. Or if she's holding a bag or a pocketbook, and vice versa, that is also 100% usur. It's usur to place anything in a bag or in her pocket, or vice versa. What about the Piskei Tshuva talks about a very interesting thing. What about lighting a What about lighting a fire? The Piskei Tshuva talks about lighting a fire is a chibur. Okay? So Lamashu by Havdalah, she's holding a licht and you want to light a match, light the fire, light the Havdalah licht. So lighting the Havdalah licht is usur. The Piskei Tshuva holds that fire is a chibur. What about, I don't think this is really going to be Negeya Bizman Hazeh, because people are more afraid of their wives when it comes to smoking. But what about a woman lighting her husband's cigarette? Or hopefully not vice versa. That would be, that also is considered a chibur, that is usur. Okay, what happens if it's raining or it's snowing and you want to carry an umbrella, hold an umbrella for your wife? Okay, of course we're talking over here, we're in no way you're going to touch or come close to each other and in a way that you will physically touch. Over there the Paiskim discussed that is mutter. Okay. A few years ago, I discussed an interesting.
Sorry, I think last time we gave the share, I also asked a question.
Yes, you did ask a very good question. I'm up to that right now. Givaldik, it was a very good question, actually. Yes. We spoke last week that the Gemara and the Flamis. Yeah, we're just going to skip over it. He knows what I'm talking about. I know what you're talking about. I know. Very good. The Gemara and the Flamis, if you recall, the Gemara discussed the pasuk in Shehashirim of Suga Basheshanim about that the Harchokos Nida are compared to a hedge of roses, and the Piskei Tshuva brings that an Isha's Besamim, her own Besamim, is considered even in Sheshanim you need a Suga. So even in Besamim, an Isha's Besamim, whether she's wearing her perfume or whether she's not wearing her perfume, they used to wear besamim around the neck as a necklace, right? Even if it's al hashulchan, one is not allowed to smell her besamim, okay? That, or if it's on her guf, you know, and even if it's on the table. So, before we got to this issue, when we were talking about Havdalah, last time Shlomi asked a question, he asked about, let's say, you can't light the ner if she's holding the ner, what about, can you smell the besamim? If she's holding the besamim, can you smell the besamim? Can she smell the besamim? If you're making a bracha on the besamim, you hand it out, can she smell from your hand? I think we brought a raya, and I think it's a good raya. I didn't see this mefurish. It's a raya from this halacha that only her besamim that's on her, you're not allowed to smell. But if she's holding besamim, it doesn't seem like that's intrinsically a chibur. So it would be another risk of smelling besamim on her would be a chibur, the smelling itself. Obviously, it's only because it's her besamim. And I don't know that anyone here's wife wears clothes. For with cinnamon, but that would be an interesting thing. Okay, so the chayre that would be mut. Yeah. We're not up there. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael. One last question that we discussed
that it's g'day to review. Is that we have to understand something that's of a broader scope when it comes to Harkokas. I like to discuss it in the with the backdrop of discussing. There's a shaila that the Bar Moshe is very, very, the Senior Rebbe LeBrocha was very, very concerned with. He has like an arichas about whether you're allowed to play ping pong with your wife. Right? So there's a whole discussion. Are you really hitting the ball to her for her to catch the ball? Are you really trying to get her out? She's trying to get her to miss, unless you really feel good about it. You don't want to make her win, so she's really going to hit. A whole back and forth. So I'm not really sure that there should be any isser involved, legabe, being moishit, dover, miyada, liyada, when it comes to ping pong. But there's another issue, which is something called schoik v'kalas rosh. The schoik v'kalas, I'm not talking schoik v'kalas rosh, stamazoi. So a schoik v'kalas rosh with one's wife, which the Shach discusses that schoik v'kalas rosh, when it comes to when Yishas b'shas nidasa, the Shach discusses that the benchmark of this is something that's margil someone la'erva, something that's suggestive, something that's romantic, if you wish. And that's something that's those things are usur, and those things are difficult to put down in on paper exactly what this activity is mutter, that activity is mutter. To everybody, it's different, and everyone has a has to really be honest with themselves, so they don't self be true as to whether something is margul la'erva or not. So it could be that playing ping pong or doing something like that, it could be it's dama fun thing, or it could be it's something that a person would only do in a more suggestive way. I think that would be l'chayra, that would be something that a person has to judge on his own. Okay. The next topic that we'd like to discuss is Shulchan Echad. Now, the halachas of Shulchan Echad really are halachas that find itself two times in Shulchan Aruch. In Hilchas Nida, and where else? In Hilchas Basa B'Cholof. Okay? In Hilchas Basa B'Cholof. If you're eating meat that I'm eating, and I'm eating milk, and we're at the same table, and we know each other, right? So there's a shash that we're going to eat from each other's plates, okay? If we're mukurabim to each other. So there's a halacha that you have to have what? To sit at the same table. There has to be a hacker. The person has to create a hacker. Now, what does this hacker have to be? First of all, the hacker has to be something that is obvious to the people that are involved. Doesn't it be obvious to anyone else? In other words, a person could have a hacker where there's a cup between them that's turned over, right? Or so nobody else knows what that means, but you yourself know what that means. Or you place a certain thing between you, right, that you decide is a hacker between the two of you. And that's enough to be something that is that reminds a person. The idea is the person should be it should be nicker. Now this how the next thing I'm going to say is not lechurish in the halachas of heker in nida, but lechayre there's no question that it should be apply. It's in basar b'cholov, so we can cross reference in halacha basar b'cholov. It has to have some sort of height. It has to be that it'll be picked up with the person's regular normal vision. In other words, it can't be something that's like a flat thing on the table that a person is not going to really notice, right? It has to be something of height. Now, just one second. So now, that's in terms of something that is a, if you're eating b'shulchan echad, okay, al shulchan echad, you need a hacker. However, let's say it's not shulchan echad, okay, if it's not shulchan echad, there's no problem, you're not at the same table. Now, shulchan echad doesn't necessarily mean the same slab of material that's on or wood or whatever that's on four legs. You could be sitting at the same table but not be at Shulchan Echad. You could have two different placemats. If you have two different placemats, that's something that is going to be a hecker. If you could have a tablecloth and you pick up the side of the tablecloth, you're eating on the table, she's eating on the tablecloth, that's also not considered Shulchan Echad. The Shulchan Echad talks about a case where they used to eat with sometimes they would have a very large plate under, especially there would be a serving plate, there would be a plate on top of a plate of lavash. You have the fish plate on top of the main plate. Let's say you don't normally eat that way, but when she's in need, you eat that way. So that's also something that is a dover that's nicker. Okay. Now, a person could also have a seat, the regular seat, and when she's a nidah, she sits in a different seat, and when the husband sits in a different seat when the wife's a nidah. That's also enough of a hacker to be able to see that. Now, there's another very interesting.
You both normally use placemats, it's not considered.
No, it's considered a separate placement. Sure. A separate placement. It's not called Shulchan Aruch. That is another issue in terms of, let's say there are other people there. Let's say you have company. Or let's say you have, there are children at the table. So is that enough? Does one require a hacker? Okay. So the Piskei Tshuva discusses that certainly this should be the case in terms of in front of company. If a person is in front of people that there would be a busha, or it's not proper for them to act in with divrei chibur in front of them with their wife in front of those people, right? So then the person would not do that. So then in that case there was not a requirement of a hacker. Now this is something you can't be silent on. Not everybody agrees with this, but the Piskei Tshuva does pask in this way. It is interesting, I mean, not interesting, certainly in front of other people, when one has company, there's no question that it's totally untoward to act in any other way than in front of other people. But there's also negia to children. It depends how old your children are, in front of your children, how you're going to act. So that would be, the person would have to know if there would be a busha involved in front of whoever they're in front of. No. I'm not saying embarrassed to act that she's a nida. The other way around. I might make myself clear. To have a hecker is to stop you from acting with divrei chibur to your wife. If you would be embarrassed in front of people to act with divrei chibur in front of your wife, then you don't need a hecker. In other words, it's not the chat that you're embarrassed to have a hecker because you're announcing you're the faker. The other way around. Okay. Now, which should generally be the case. Not generally, should always be the case. Okay. But I'm talking about handing things. I'm talking about Dvarim Shel Chibur. Okay. Okay. Now, there's another issue of Kaira Achas. Not one plate, one table, but one Kaira. Eating out of the same dish. Eating out of the same dish is 100% Asur. Now, when does it mean that you're eating out of the same dish? This does not mean you bring a serving plate of a bunch of food and you put it onto from the serving plate onto your food. You're not eating out of the dish. You're eating out of your plate. You're just taking the food out of the main dish. But eating out of Kaira Achas refers to actually eating food out of the same plate. Okay? Out of the same dish, out of the same plate. Now, there's a very fascinating machlokes that I heard many years ago, maybe 20 years ago, between Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe. The issue was, can you butter your bread from the same butter same stick of butter on the plate, on the table? Can you butter your bread? So Rav Moshe held it's 100% mutter. Rav Shlomo Zalman held it's awesome. So, what's the pshat? What was the pshat in the machlokes? Pshat in the machlokes is you have to eat breakfast in Eretz Yisrael one day and you'll see what the pshat is. In America, what do? You take a thing at the bottom and you slob it on your bread, you make a whole zach of the bread, you put it on your plate and you eat the bread. The big thing. In Eretz Yisrael, it's like a little dab. So you're actually eating out of the same plate together. That is why they went back and forth because he says also, he said, Mutsi, and the people didn't understand what the chiluk was. The chiluk was how you eat it. Now, the truth is, I don't know how the following thing shims with this machlokes. It is an interesting shmuz. It could be that Rav Moshe held its mutter for another reason. Rav Moshe, when I was a chassan, I remember learning with the person I learned with, a big Talmud Chacham. The issue was, well, can you eat out of a potato chip bag or a popcorn bag? This is a very negative thing. You're taking a long drive from somewhere, you have a big thing of popcorn in the middle or potato chips, you let it eat out of it together. So the way I learned it was the following. Generally, it's a shayla, not so pasha, because when you eat out of a popcorn bag, you don't eat one piece of popcorn at a time. What do? You go like this, right? Take a bunch, right? Jelly beans might be different, I'm not sure. Anyway, you eat a bunch together, and so you're really eating out of your hand. You have a bunch on your hand. So that's the question, is that called eating out of the thing? It's better not to do. But there's a very interesting cooler from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says the following thing. Rav Moshe says that the only time eating out of a Kaira is eating out of like a bed, such a thing, is if you wouldn't normally do it with another person. Okay? The mushroom, you don't share germs, right? We're going to see something about eating out of the same cup or drinking out of the same thing. People generally don't do that. Okay? But you ever go to a kiddush, or not a kiddush, or whatever, but people eat potato chips out of the same bowl, right? You'll eat popcorn out of the same bowl. I don't know that you'll eat potato chips out of the same bag. That might be more of a kurva than out of the same bag together. Out of a bowl on a plate, technically you would. So, l'chayra, according to Rav Moshe, it really depends on the situation. Okay, that's eating out of potato chips. Now, there is another issue. I would still say it's better not to. Okay. There's another issue, and this issue goes one way. Okay? The Chazal understood that men they probably innately have less Yiras Shamayim, which is a whole other issue we won't get into now. But there's another issue in terms of men, that men are more easily, this might be a function of that, more easily inspired to act with the rechiva towards their wife than the wife towards them. So there are certain halachas that are negeya more to the man than to the woman. Okay? The halacha is that a person is not allowed to drink shiure kois of his wife. Okay? If his wife drinks from a kois, you are not allowed to drink from that kois. Your wife can drink from your kois, but you cannot drink from her kois. The Ramah says that this halacha is also true. Legave shiure my chalo. Okay? Now, when we talk about shiure shtia, the Ramah points out four different exceptions to the rule of shiurei shtia. One, let's say somebody else drinks in between. Okay, there's a hefsek. Second, let's say she drinks something and you have no idea that she drank from it. So obviously there's no iser hefsek in shiurei maichola. So in shiurei shtia, it's not the pshat that be'etzem it's aser, it became like a piece of pasul maicholov and you can't drink it. But the point is, it's obviously it's a suggestive thing. You're going to drink from what she drank from. That's something that's suggestive. If you don't know, she doesn't have to tell you. Okay. Third thing, a corollary to what we just said, is let's say she leaves. She leaves the house. She's not there. She's not, so nothing is going to happen, right? So therefore, there's no such problem either. The fourth thing is if it's poured into a separate cup. If it's poured into another cup, so then there's no such problem. I'm getting it. Now. Because it's not going to. I'll get there. Okay. I have it all done. It says that she's not there. I don't know. If she's not in the room, she's still around. I don't believe that she'd come back in the room. Okay. I don't think it's the part of you drinking it in front of her. I think because you're drinking it and she's in proximity. Okay. Rabbi said, the mita is more like that. Mita is in her presence. We'll see in the presence.
Supply to food as well.
So Shiurei, so Ramos says, this also includes Shiurei Maicholo. Okay. Right. Now, if you would say this, you would tell me like this. If it includes Shiurei Maicholo, okay? If it's Shiurei Maicholo, L'chayra, it should have the exceptions of what? It should have the same exceptions as Shiurei Kais. And the Taz says it has the exceptions. However, Rav Moshe has a very big chumra over here. Rav Moshe says the following thing. In Shiurei Maicholo, changing, depending on what she's eating, L'mashon, you have a steak, right? She eats from a steak, right? Or she takes a bite out of something, and then she puts it into another plate. Over there, that's different than Shiurei Shtia. Shiurei Shtia, if she does and she drinks something, and then she pours it into another thing, you can drink from it. But if she takes a bite out of a sandwich, or she takes a piece of meat, or a piece of schnitzel, or something like that, over there, changing the plate, or someone else also takes a piece, okay, will not change, okay? The question is, why not? It should have the same exceptions as Shiurei Shtia. Teretz says it depends on what she's eating. But Moshe says a very interesting thing. Shiurei Maichola or Shiurei Shtia of something that's not one piece. So over there, it loses the identity as long of being her Michael, right? As long as it's taken out of the plate, okay? She's eating rice, she's eating couscous, she's eating a salad of some sort. Over there, you put it into another plate, it's not a problem. The drinking something, put it into another cup, it's not a problem. But if you're eating one piece, so she ate out of that, she ate from that thing, the piece has the same identity as it was before. Changing its plate doesn't make a difference. Now, therefore, the heter of being mafsik, or going into another plate, that does not apply by something that is a chaticha achas, that's a piece. Now, this is something that's very common. Let's say you have a very big dish, right? Place, you go to a restaurant, they give you a tremendous dish, tremendous. Your wife says, there's no way I'm finishing this whole thing, you're going to have to finish it, right? Or some such a story. Yeah. What? What's the problem? The proper thing to do is to finish it. Okay. The chivalric thing to do is to finish it for her. Well, the only way you could finish it for her is if in the beginning of her eating, she says, she cuts off the piece, and she says that she's not going to finish everything. So mitchila, she has to say that she's not going to do that. Now, there's another halacha which goes both ways. Okay? I missed that. That goes both ways. Mizigas kais, pouring a kais for someone. Pouring a kais, a man pouring a kais for his wife, or a wife pouring a kais for a man, in front of him, okay, is 100% asur. Okay? Not only that, serving each other, bringing food, an individual portion to serve in front of the husband, or in front of, is the same thing as mezigas kais. So in such a way, you have to do a shino, you have to put it to the left, to the right, on the bench, whatever it is, to be able to be mishanu, or not put it directly in front of the person. Now, someone asked a question about kais shel yayin. Okay? Now, the halacha says the following. A husband is not allowed to be shaleach kais shel bracha to his wife when she is in Eden. Okay? Now, so what do you do? B'shas kiddush. So when I was a chosin, I learned the following thing. The halacha is that your wife is allowed to do what? She's allowed to drink from your shiur imaychal. So as long as you don't send it to her, so you, and you can't pour for her even. So now, different people do different things for kiddush. L'mashul, after you finish kiddush, you could either pour a bunch of different schnapps glazlif, and she could pick whichever one. You didn't really pour anything for her directly. Okay? Most people, the wife drinks from the kais. Right? So what you do is, you don't send it to her. You put the kais down, and she takes it. So then she drank shira shdiya, and it's not a problem. However, there's a very big heter that I've said over before, that I heard, probably about 12 years ago I heard this before, quite a few years after I was married. The Satmarov held the following thing, and this is certainly a function of how the Satmarov saw the Suda Shabbos. He held the following thing. He held to be shaleach a kais doesn't mean to send it to your wife at the other end of the table, or to send it to her. Shaleach kais means you're sending it to a different room. Right? You said that generally they're sitting in a different room. So sitting in a different room, that's already a chiba. You sent something to her. Right? So that already is, you can't be kaddish your left kaddish bracha. But to say, hey, give it to her for the other end of the table, that's not a shlichus, that's not an isser. So if one wanted to be soymach on that, that would be mutter unless your wife's eating in the kitchen. Or you eat in the kitchen, they eat in the dining room, it's a different problem. Okay, now. Okay. Now, there's another halacha, which is mita achas. Now, one is not allowed to lay in a bed or sit on a bed together with his wife, whether they're totally clothed, they can be fully clothed, they can wear 18 layers of clothing. It is 100% also, the beds have to be separate. Okay? How separate do the beds have to be? Everybody know? There is no specific halacha brought in Shulchan Aruch as to how far they have to be. Okay? Now, there are many different shiurim amongst the post. Okay? Some say if you were sleeping at arm's length. Okay? Some say that if the covers should not be able to touch each other. Some say an amma between beds. Okay? There are different. My suggestion is that if you were laying at the end of the bed and your arm would go out, how far out you would want to, you know, normally how you would sleep, that your arm shouldn't be able to touch the bed next to it. However, and the halacha is the following also. You're not allowed to have one bed in halacha either. They could be separate, but if they have one headboard, that is 100% usur. Okay? You can't have one headboard. You can have one headboard, but when your wife's in Eden, you have to separate the headboard. It gets a little complicated. Most people will not remember to do it. Okay? Now, there is one halacha, there is one caveat to this. If the headboard and the bed is screwed into the wall, and the two beds, then it's not considered one bed. The headboard is not going to be mechaber if each one is going to be screwed into the wall. However, if they're connected together just with the headboard, it's awesome. What happens if you go to your friend's house and they put you in the basement and the... Right. So the headboard is mounted to the wall and the wall and the bed is mounted to the wall. It's still considered one bed.
The headboard is on the wall, the bed is not associated with the headboard.
Right. The beds are not going to be moved. You don't consider the beds as mechubra as one. The headboard is not mechubra. It has to be attached to the wall. Attached to the wall. Okay. I must tell you, Rabbi said that it's Darren is a little jovial. So this is not something to joke about. The hachokas we spoke before. If you remember the beginning of this year, the hachokas. I mean, you could joke. I'm saying the Indian of where we're saying something is awesome. Chazal talk about the person's meis b'chatzi yomov if he doesn't keep these halachas. These are not halachas that are to be played with. Let's say you go to your friend's house and they put you in a room that's 7x10 with a high riser and a little plaque and play crib for your kid on Shabbos. Do you tell them they should move into the room and you have to go upstairs because your wife is not, because the beds are like 1.5 inches apart? The halacha is that in the Bidiyavad, you don't have to do that. Okay, as long as that beds are going to be separated, and you separate them even a little bit, of course you have to be careful, so the Bidiyavad, you can do that. But certainly in your house, you should not set up a situation that way. A corollary to this halacha is safsal hamisnadneid. Okay? You're not allowed to sit on the same surface if you feel if that same surface will create a situation where you're going to feel each other's movement. A park bench, you could sit on the same park bench. It's not a problem. It doesn't move. Okay? A couch, okay? If you're sitting on the same cushion of the couch, you feel each other in the couch. Sitting on a porch swing together is also going on a boat, right? You want to go over rowing together. That's 100% usher. Shulchan Aruch talks about an agola. Now, let's say you have, I don't even think this is negate to anyone anymore, but they used to not have bucket seats in cars. They used to have one long bench in the front of the cars. I think that's like pre-1990, I don't know.
You said the back seat of a car.
Or the back seat of a car. If you have, what? If you're a passenger, someone gives you a ride, the back seat of a car. So Rav Moshe talks about that case. I missed the whole joke. The Rav Moshe talks about the case of a bench in a car. Now, the halacha is, by the way, if there's someone being mafsik between you, okay, so it's mutter. That's first of all. And that would be mutter even on the swing, and that would be even mutter on a bench. But in the car bench, Rav Moshe talks about how it's the movement of the car that you're feeling, not the movement of each other, generally.
So you have an arm resting between, that's okay?
No. You need a person. You're feeling each other's movement over there, you need a person. What? You shouldn't go together, 100%.
Why? It doesn't move.
Excuse me, Ephraim, you stand up in the ski lift. It's not going to move, so you don't feel your movement.
The bench is not moving.
But you feel your movement. The other person feels your movement. How about on a boat?
How far is moving?
So when you're driving a car, you go boat.
No, you don't feel each other's movement. No. The movement of the movement of the car. That's not going to bring again. Ski lift. I could just put that in a ski lift. Yeah, there he goes. Oh, that's the mark. The whole thing, you feel each other's movement. Okay. Now, something that is very negative. Rabbi Sai, the halacha is a person when his wife is vinidasa is not allowed to look, is not allowed to be mistakel afilu b'ikvasa, even on the heel of her foot. Any mokoim that is to be mechusa. Okay? Any mokoim that a woman is not allowed to walk in the street. A person, other than uncovered, a person is not allowed to see his wife in that matzah, uncovered. Okay? Which means, anything above the bottom of her knee, anything above the bottom of her knee, anything above her elbow, okay? Anything below her collarbone, okay? Now, what about, and her feet, now what about her hair? We all know that Sar V'Isha is erva. So is a woman's hair allowed to be uncovered in front of her husband, b'shas nidasa? Kimat every poisik in Eretz Yisrael holds it is 100% asur. Rav Moshe has a very big kula. Rav Moshe holds a very interesting thing. Rav Moshe says it could be that sar b'isha is erva, but sar is not something that's margul das. It could be be'etzim b'cheftzis and erva. But it's not going to be something that's going to be margul him l'day aveira. So Rav Moshe says this is a part of Rav Moshe's bigger picture of Sar, which I'm not going to get into right now. But Rav Moshe holds that such a thing would be mutter b'shas midasa to see her here uncovered. And one could be samech on that, moving there as well. Okay. Now, legabe koil b'isha erva. Rav Moshe over here holds, in most places, in all places hold, that this is different. It's not a cheft of an erva. But rather, the koil, the woman's koil, is something that can arouse the taiva. Memela, koil b'isha erva, a woman shouldn't be singing. She shouldn't sing the mashal yishay, come to the Shabbos table. Of course, if there are no other men there, we're talking. So, for her to seem smiris, but she asked me also, for you to hear her voice, is 100% usher. You should not do that. You shouldn't allow that. If it's amongst all the bunch of kids and she's singing whatever and you really can't discern her voice, so then that's another issue that would be a heter, but otherwise it's not. Okay. Now, we spoke about last time about when an isha becomes nida b'shas leida, when she's giving birth, when she's in labor. Now, the issue over here becomes a very difficult issue, because whenever she becomes nida, right, there are harchakas that are involved also. In fact, we already discussed that there are sheep and rishonim that hold that divrei chiba ben ishla ishtai on a nida, the harchakas, even if it's not actual relations. On what? A yerig vayavar, a bizarre darayis, a mitzvah darayis. Right. So the shayla over here is, what can you do to help your wife? Okay. Now, your wife's mother. I've discussed this before. All the lamaz classes in the world, there is no place that a man is more helpless and feels more impotent in the world than in the labor and delivery room. Okay. Man, it really is. There's not much you could do. And I don't know if I ever mentioned this, but I haven't mentioned this. Before I got married, how would you know if I haven't mentioned it? Before my Bukhar was born, our Bukhar was born, they had this brilliant idea that they take you, in my mind, they take you on a tour of labor and delivery to see what it is, to know where to go. So, did I ever tell this story?
No.
Okay. Anyway, so we're walking through. And I'm pretty calm. They show you where the triasm thing is. This before, I don't know what it looks like now. Anyway, we're walking around, and there's one room that there's a lot of noise going on. This woman is Manush Nebuch, it's terrible. And the thing, why would anybody go on a tour to see what they're in for? It didn't make any sense. Anyway, this guy is like a real Nebuch. A good guy is trying to be nice to his wife. And he's going to give you ice chips. Yeah. So he's trying to give his wife ice chips. I'm like, honey, do you want some ice chips? And like, this is going on for like 7 minutes. For some reason, we're parked right outside his door. Okay? And this woman is in such pain. She says, will you shut up? Eat the ice chips yourself. She's like, I felt so bad for this guy. Anyway, that's why I said, there is really, it's really a difficult position for a man to be in, for many reasons. Anyway, you should certainly have your tillum with you. I'm crying from it and thinking that I was like, oh, my God. Anyway, first things that you should worry about, there is a very important reason for a husband to be in the living room. And the reason is because statistically there are less cesareans done on women if the husband is there. The doctor will be much, you know, he wants to take his coffee break, he wants to get to catch his plane to Florida. He's really not interested in staying up that late at night. He'd rather go home. It's easier for him to take out a scalpel, cut, take the baby out, and go home. Okay? Then sit there and wait and work through a labor that's a difficult labor. But the Dihaba Uvda, I never told the story. My fourth child, my daughter, Faisara, was born. She had the cord wrapped around her neck. And every time there was a contraction, the heart rate went down. And it was a scary situation. And every time I was there, you know, I was talking to the doctor every step of the way. You know, what they could do, is there anything they could do? And they were talking about cesarean, not cesarean, anything they could do, and change position of the mother, and to ease pressure on the cord. And I was walking out, I was saying to him, and I was walking out, so the doctor went out, and he was talking to another doctor. And I won't say who the other doctor was, because he said, why did you just do a cesarean? I heard that. I was overhearing the conversation in the doctor's room. I don't know if you know what my mother used to be. And the guy basically said, you know, the husband is like breathing down my neck. And, you know, I'm going to make this work. That's what he said. So you might feel a little, you know, a little helpless, but it's important that you be there. Okay. Now, the halacha applies of seeing kaimis samachusim in a wife also, which is a shas labor. Okay? And Bakshan, by the way, he wants to. A person has to be careful, and it's a difficult thing. The makamis amachusim many times are exposed, and of course, you know that they in the past 10 years they decided that the person, the husband, has to see the birth of the actual baby. That's absolutely awesome. Any time you see Isa Makum to see the emergence of the head. I'm not sure what the Kabbalah is about that, but the mirrors, that's awesome. Okay, now in terms of helping your wife, many times a woman can't walk. I remember the first time I was born, you could fall on the floor. When she's falling on the floor, she's in either, right? She's a Shavuot Salamashka, she already said she can't walk on her own. She's already in either. What can you do to help her? She's on the floor. Obviously, you're not going to say, right? What do you do? In such a situation, if there's nobody else to help, Derech Begodim, okay? Derech Begodim, it would be mutter to help, okay? But there cannot be any flesh to flesh, any hand to hand. Help. It should be derech begadim, and it should be done very carefully. Only that which is necessary to be done to help her in the labor and delivery. If there are any questions, I'll take questions. I really would have liked to start Vestas, but in Mitzvah Shem we will cover all of Vestas next week. And hopefully, we should start. Maybe we'll. Hopefully, we'll get to some Hokus for her. Maybe we'll extend this year a little bit. Okay, we should have Shrat, Prime, and Shemi for the food.
After pregnancy, Eugene, your wife is walking up and then you can't help her down to
the she has nobody else to help her. You're not going to
No hand-to-hand combat.
No hand-to-hand combat, either.
Yes.